Make sure you're subscribed to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Type The Word of the Lord Endures Forever in your podcast provider. Hit that subscribe button and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org. Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
And do not miss that Paul's not thinking here of some future glory that's coming your way, but of a glory that is yours even right now as you stare upon the countless biblical images of the crucified. From the sacrifice of Isaac to the Passover lamb to the Day of Atonement to Isaiah's great 53rd chapter and David's Psalm 22 and 69 and so much more.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the book of 2 Corinthians.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Greetings, people loved by God. Do you remember where we were last time? St. Paul spoke of the preaching of the Ten Commandments, the preaching of God's holy law, as a ministry of death, since the letter kills, but it had a glory of its own, as seen by Moses' shining face. And yet, the contrast with the ministry of the Spirit, that is, the gospel, was far more glorious. Then he spoke of the effects of either preaching. Preaching the law brings condemnation, since it requires a perfect observance of the law, which none of us has. But the Spirit's ministry delivers righteousness. That is, the righteousness of Christ himself as God's gift to us. And when that righteousness is grasped in the heart by faith, it completely eclipses the fear and the doubt that comes from the preaching of the law. Its glory is so much greater because it's not fading. It doesn't pass away. It's a glory that is permanent. The kind regard that God has for us, which comes shining from the face of Christ, as we'll see in just a bit. A reading from 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, beginning at the 12th verse. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold, not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. But their minds were hardened, for to this day, when they read the Old Covenant, that same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3, verses 12 through 18. Let us pray. Everlasting God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, grant us your grace that we may make good and diligent study of Holy Scripture, seek and find Christ therein, and through him have eternal life. Graciously granted, dear God. Amen. Welp, are you ready to dig into God's Word today? I am. Let's do this. Verse 12. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold. What's the reference to such a hope? Ambrosiaster, writing in the 4th century, comments, Paul is saying that we have a hope of seeing glory, not the kind that was on the face of Moses, but the kind which the apostles saw on the mountain of the Transfiguration when the Lord revealed himself. And the boldness shows itself, as we'll see, in that we dare to gaze upon this glory that shines from the Lord Jesus. And instead of it destroying us, wiping us out, it actually is what transforms us. More on that in just a bit. Do you remember when Moses requested God to show him his glory? God told him, I will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious and will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. But, he said, you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live. Exodus 33, verses 18 and following. God then hid Moses in the cleft of the rock, had his glory pass by him, and after he had passed by, he took away his hand so that Moses could see God's back, while his face remained unseen. Similarly, recall that at the calling of Moses at the burning bush, Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Exodus 3:6. This is the same humility you see in the seraphim, who used the two of their wings to cover their faces in the presence of God. Paul boasts that we are very bold. We don't need to veil our faces before him, because he has given us his Son into our flesh to be our Savior and to make us his beloved children. Hear St. John Chrysostom's words on this to his congregation in the 4th century. Paul is saying that there is no need for us to cover ourselves as Moses did, for we are able to look at the glory with which we are encircled, even though it is far brighter than the other one. Verse 13. Not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. That sounds very much as though the glory that Moses experienced shining from his face after talking with God was not permanent. His face didn't shine perpetually. It glowed afterward, but gradually ceased. And Paul says that Moses put on the veil not merely because the Israelites were freaked out, but above all, so that they might not see the outcome of what was being brought to an end. In other words, the veil literally veiled the temporary nature of the glory of the covenant with Israel. Paul's going to play a bit with that idea. Verse 14. But their minds were hardened, for to this day, when they read the old covenant, that same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. In the Old Testament, it is usually hearts, the volitional center of the human being, that are hardened. But here, Paul proclaims that it is the mind of the Jews that were hardened, as in, my mind is made up, don't bother me with any facts about this Jesus of yours. And so, just as Moses wore the veil covering up the fading glory of the Old Testament, Paul insists the Jews of his own day had the same veil unlifted, because the only thing that takes the veil away and lets you behold the glory of God is Jesus Christ. Think of how, when the Lord Jesus died, the veil that separated the Holy of Holies from the holy place was torn and torn from top to bottom. The point was unmistakable. Now you can see the glory of God. A few years back, several of our friends got together to see the great eclipse. We all had special glasses that we needed to wear, and wearing them, we could behold the glory of the sun in that eclipse without damaging our eyes. That's just what the cross of Christ does for you. It allows you through it to glimpse the very glory of God and yet not be wiped out by that glory. Verse 15. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. Verse 16. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Jesus, of course, pointed out in John 5, verse 46, if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. And a few verses prior, he'd exhorted them to search the scriptures, since in them they thought they had life, but these very scriptures are talking about him. To read the scriptures of the Old Testament absent the key of Jesus leaves you with a mysterious and locked up book. A book whose true meaning is veiled from your understanding and from your heart. What happens when you embrace in faith the Lord Jesus is suddenly the whole of the Old Testament blazes with a joyous light, full of glory. When the Old Testament scriptures become iconic to you of Jesus, when his image is what's shining through in account after account, you begin to see the unity of the scriptures like never before. They unite in proclaiming God's unfailing love for sinful man in the gift of the eternal Son. But no man can remove this veil and get this insight on his own. Hence, verse 17, Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. This is an important passage on the divinity of the Holy Ghost. The Lord is the Spirit is as much as to say, the Spirit is the Lord. Or, as we confess in the Nicene Creed, the Holy Ghost himself is the Lord and giver of life. And that life is the life of joyous freedom, the freedom of being the children of the Heavenly Father, not fearful slaves waiting for the Master to boot us out because we messed up yet again, but beloved children in and through Jesus. The Spirit shows us our adoption in Christ, and this sets us free like nothing else ever could. Verse 18, and we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Back to Moses and his veiled face time and again. Back to the seraphim hiding their faces. We instead, in the sacred scriptures inspired by the Holy Ghost, come to see the glory of Jesus Christ above all as he is suffering and dying on the cross. Remember how he himself said, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified," as he announced his impending death. See John 12, verses 23 and 24. Jesus, in John 3, had likened his crucifixion to Moses' serpent in the wilderness, uplifted on the stick, which the Israelites had to look upon if they wanted to be healed of the poisonous snake bites. This passage suggests that it is by gazing upon Christ crucified, to whom the Holy Spirit bears witness in passage after passage of the Old Testament scriptures, that you are transformed, changed from the inside out. For there you see the way in which God so loved the world and so loved you. And the transformation is exactly what John described in chapter 4 of his letter. We love because he first loved us, 1 John 4:19. The Spirit who spoke by the prophets, Nicene Creed again, inspired their witness so that throughout the Old Testament they constantly proclaimed the glorious love of Christ for sinful human beings. Through the image of the crucified Jesus as the gift of the Father's love to you, the Holy Spirit works within you an answering, a counter-love to God. Thus, you are transformed from one degree of glory to another. And do not miss that Paul's not thinking here of some future glory that's coming your way, but of a glory that is yours even right now, as you stare upon the countless biblical images of the crucified. From the sacrifice of Isaac to the Passover lamb to the Day of Atonement to Isaiah's great 53rd chapter in David's Psalm 22 and 69 and so much more. That's where we're going to have to call a halt for today, people loved by God. It's kind of a shame that what we just heard is divided from what we'll hear next by an artificial chapter break. Never forget that chapters and verses are simply conveniences to help locate various parts of God's word. They're not inspired. So Paul begins next time with a big old therefore, which solidly joins what he's about to say about the gospel of the glory of Christ and to whom it is unveiled and to whom it is hidden with what he's just told you. God has a gospel light to shine, and he wants it to shine right in your heart. Till next time, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can donate by check, make your check payable to The Word Endures, and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.